Good morning, gents.
First of all, every time I get on that rowing machine, I think of you. I don't know how the bloody hell you did that. 24 hours on that rowing machine. Please explain. Is it still giving you nightmares?
Surprisingly, I'm back on there still doing training. I think I had about 4 or 5 days off after doing the 24 hours, and the itch came back, and I got back on there and continued on. So, look, it was arguably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but at the same time, when you've got a really strong cause such as brain cancer at the forefront of your mind, it pales into insignificance, really, the pain you're going through when you're out there to support people.
How much did you raise, Simon?
Well, we raised well over $50,000.
Done you. That's great.
Yeah, fantastic effort. We had a really successful function post-event, and it was probably the thing that got me over the line in the last hour, was having 250 people present cheering us on. So it was, we had fantastic participants, fantastic sponsors and support from the general public, and couldn't have been happier with the way that it all turned out.
And even more special to you, and I'm sure you leant on it a little bit, was your mate who you did it for in the first place, who was diagnosed with brain cancer. I'm sure that was pretty special for a mateship too, to have done this and gone through it.
Yeah, absolutely. He was there on and off through over the course of the 24 hours, which was fantastic, and he was certainly there in that last hour. And no pain can compare to what the challenges he goes through. So it was great to be able to support him.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Simon, but I heard a great story. I had a bit of a laugh when Matty Fuller told me this story. Of course, Matt Fuller's done 24-hour endurance for charity with the telethon, of course. But I think you asked for a little bit of advice, and you said which would be which exercise that you've done that that you complete a 24-hour activity. And he said the rowing was definitely the hardest.
Yeah, by far. And I think I've spent a few years playing footy and experienced the post-game soreness, and it really paled into insignificance compared to the pain I felt for 2 days after that row. It was significant. So all worth it, though. And, we're looking at whether we go again towards the end of this year and do something bigger and better.
Yeah, well, great stuff to you, and we'll certainly support you here on the Sports Daily, Simon. So let us know how you're going, and we'll get you back on the air. But it's going to be a big match in Geraldton this weekend. It's a big boost for the Midwest town up there that's presented so many great footballers to the Australian Football League and other places around Australia as well, particularly in the Waffle through East Fremantle and those types of clubs. But it's going to be a great weekend up there. How are Fremantle approaching this match?
Look, we'll be approaching it with a large degree of intent to put out close to our best team. We really need to get ourselves onto a good start and appease the way that we competed last year. And the terrific thing is, I guess every club will say it, but we've had a fantastic pre-season, and the players came back in excellent condition to give them every chance to play their best football. So we're really looking forward to the opportunity to get up to Geraldton and play this game and see where our playing group are at.
I think the Fremantle Football Club at the moment have the footballing world a little bit confused to see how they will go this year. Mm. Of course, they were flag favourites at the start. Well, this time last year they were flag favourites, and obviously everyone knows they didn't perform to what everyone thought they would. And then you had that host of injuries, Simon, but you get those players back. What are your expectations, or the club's expectations, this season? Do you think you can get back into the finals?
We're really, we're aiming as high as we can go, and that is to put out the kind of competitive team that this club's renowned for, and where we finish is where we'll be, aiming at. So we're really hoping to be as strong and competitive from the first bounce of this pre-season right through to the final siren at the end of the year. And where it takes us, that's anybody's guess, but we're really hoping to perform at that level that Fremantle's renowned for. And if we can keep ourselves healthy and available, it gives us every shot to be back to where we were around 2015.
Well, Simon, out there Windy Hill in 98, 99 when you were playing for Essendon, and Fremantle in the early days at 2001, 2002. I'm not sure you would have had quite the same facilities that the Dockers have moved into at Cockburn Central West this week. You started training there, the main training session on Tuesday. It must be an unbelievable feeling out there to have such enormous facilities, $110 million production.
Yeah, it's when you do think back to the late 90s, what was considered top shelf then compared to what we've moved into here at Cockburn Central West is quite amazing. It's you couldn't ask for anything else. The resources available to the coaches and the players and all our staff is second to none, and that's why we're really pumped about the season to be able to bring forward with all these amazing resources what we can and perform at our best in arguably the best facility in the country.
We're having a chat to Fremantle Football Club assistant coach Simon Eastall. Simon, I read recently that Ross Lyon said he got it wrong last year in the way he coached the side and his responsibility. How much has he changed this pre-season compared to last pre-season?
Oh, look, we've assessed all elements of our football program and realised that we need to be better across the board as a collective. And I think, Ross is a fantastic tactician and developer of people. So, he's really backed himself in. He's backed in his coaches. He's backed in all the players to really, get back on the same page. And at the same time, the responsibility of performance is on everybody's shoulders. And I think that's been a really collaborative approach across the board, and everybody has thrived in that environment. So, things didn't go to plan last year, but we're certainly looking ahead and getting back to playing the type of football that we as a club are renowned for.
What I really like about this game up in Geraldton on the weekend is the fact that both clubs are really going in strong. We're going to see from the West Coast side of the fence, Sam Mitchell come out for the first time and Matt Pritis come back, Josh Kennedy, his hometown. That's going to be fantastic stuff. And you're saying now that you're going to field a really strong team. That's pretty special for a country town up there and one that they'll really embrace, I'm sure.
Well, it's important that this time of the year our players get as much game time as they possibly can leading into the season. So we've seen in the past that with Ross Lyon's teams that come round one, we'll be at definitely at our best, and we can't do that by keeping players out of getting those vital minutes that are needed to play.
Simon, is there any of the... I know you recruited a lot of youngsters into your squad over the pre-season. Is there any one player that we probably might not know too well this year for the Dockers that will stand up after having a really good pre-season?
Oh, the great silver lining from last season was what happened with Peel Thunder winning the Waffle Premiership. And young players who were sort of on the cusp last year in Ed Langdon, Connor Blakely, Darcy Tucker, Ethan Hughes have all had sensational pre-seasons. They've come in really hungry, and I think their hunger and their effort has really fueled the older players to step up their own game. So I think we'll see those second, third-year players start to really put some pressure on for positions or places in the side. And, obviously with our new recruits in, our younger players, first years, we've got to wait and see what they've got to offer. We can't place too much pressure on them at this stage. Let's see how they develop. And I'm sure at some stage we'll see one, if not two or three this year.
And just before we let you go, Simon, I know you're the ruck coach at Fremantle. When will we see Aaron Sanderlands?
Yeah, Aaron's tracking along really well, and I would be expecting to see him play some football before round one. So he's champing at the bit, really. He's in fantastic condition, and we'll be looking forward to seeing what Aaron brings to into the pre-season when he gets his opportunity.
Well, best of luck this season, Simon, with the Fremantle Football Club. And I tell you what, if your boys show as much heart as you did with that 24-hour stint on that rowing machine, look out for the Dockers this season. They're going to play a major part in that AFL competition.
I think in a lot of ways those boys inspire me every day. So it's hopefully it's all mutual in terms of the effort that everybody brings. And, yeah, we're really looking forward to 2017.
Thanks for your time, mate. Much appreciated.
Good luck, Ethie.
My pleasure.